Well, God is on the throne. God is on the move. And I hope that we're on the move with him. Amen. That we haven't sat down somewhere and decided enough is enough. That we're still moving. Amen. I don't know, but there's just something just exciting in the air. I don't know what it is, but we're going to soon find out. And I'm excited with what God is doing with us and for us and through us. And I hope each and every one of you are satisfied with what God is doing with you, for you, and through you. I don't care if you're still bound. Be excited with what you have. You know, and then he'll do more for you, right? But if you're going to mope around and not thank him for what he already did for you, why would he want to do anything else for you? And how many of you are going around singing all the time? There's always a song, right? You know, God said as we praise him, and I don't know about you, but that really is working. How many of you waking up in the middle of the night, you're singing a song? And sometimes the same song all day and all night. You know, it's just whatever God places upon your heart. I want us to learn to really flow with God and just to quit getting dumb. You know, and just, you have to do this, God. No, he doesn't. Just thank him he gave you breath to get out of bed. And let's just start doing this thing the right way. God's in control, right? I'm just looking to the faces. Because some of them can't say amen without getting yourself in a whole lot of trouble, right? I'm not going to say which one, but one of my little boys came to me the other day and he said, Mom, God really does answer prayer. He's been listening to me teach about it. And he asked God for two things. And it was a miracle for both of them. And God answered those two prayers. I was so excited. I didn't want him to see him cry. But after they walked away, I sat there and I cried. And I said, thank you, God. Because I've been asking God, and you need to do with your children. I said, God, let them see that you are a miracle-working God. Let them see that you do answer prayer. Our kids need it as much as we do. Because the world out there is not nice. And so I'm just hoping that you're lifting up your children and you're asking God to do wonderful things to them just to prove that he is God. After all, if you dumb grown-ups need to have him prove to you he's God, why not our children being that God proved to them that he's God? And I think the younger that God gets a hold of them, the better it is for the children. They won't have all this junk to try to get rid of. Amen. Well, Father, I surely and truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for all that came out just to sit in your presence. If you do nothing else for us, Father God, we was just able to come and sit in your presence. If you never speak a word, you never move, you just allowed us to sit in your presence. I don't believe, Father God, the body of Christ understands that statement. But God, if we would just sit in your presence, not asking for anything, just sitting there loving you and let you love on us, so many things would change in our life. And Jesus, we really do thank you tonight for all that you have done for us, the cross, everything you had to go through. And Father, I thank you for your angelic host that I know. That the angels weren't around about your children, some of us wouldn't be here today. And Father God, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that truly does lead, guide, and direct. And your Holy Spirit has brought your glory into the churches, into the atmosphere. And Father God, we know that you are going to bring your glory in all of its fullness. And we just thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, a different teaching, different type of teaching. I was doing something around the house, and God said, my children are going through the Garden of Gethsemane experience. I ran real quick to my computer, and this is what God and I came up with, all right? In Aramaic, Gethsemane means oil press. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane was in the midst of an olive field, orchard, if you don't know that. I found that out. So I think I'm going to go buy an olive tree and plant my yard. I want to be part of that garden too. How about you? All right. Here's what God said. My people need to understand they are going through their personal garden of Gethsemane experience, just as my son Jesus went through his. Jesus underwent the agony in the garden and was arrested before his crucifixion. Just as my son had to go through his garden experience alone, A-L-O-N-E, alone, so must you. You must learn to walk alone with your Father as your only companion on the road of agony. And remember a while back I told you that God told me it's just him and I and nobody else. And whenever that happened, it just felt like everybody had drawn away, even though you didn't. I just felt like I was all alone, and God was the only one that I could commune with, and he would understand me, and he would answer me. Now, I wrote down here, well, he said to walk alone with your Father as your only companion on the road of agony. All right, remember that word. Now, the garden is the last place Jesus went before his arrest and crucifixion. It is a quiet before the storm and the place where we see Jesus as completely human. Jesus takes his disciples to Gethsemane after eating the Last Supper. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:34 in the Message Bible that communion is a spiritual meal, a love feast. God asks us to take communion, our love feast, for 32 days. Now he is telling us we are going to the garden. See, our 32 days aren't up yet, right? Our agony is on the way. But see, God's had me teach us before it happens. He wants you to know, he's warning you what's going to be happening now. You thought, this is wonderful, having communion every day with our Father, a little love feast. He's getting you prepared for what's ahead of you. In the garden, Jesus is feeling anxious and desires the companionship of his friends. You're going to feel that too. He confides in them in Mark 14:32. He says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He didn't say, come and pray with me. He said, just sit here while I go and pray. We all want everybody to come around us and pray with us. But Jesus didn't do that. He said, you have to listen to everything that's being said here now. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and Jesus became deeply troubled and distressed. And in verse 34, told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then in Mark 14:35 through 38, Jesus went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Jesus said, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then Jesus returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I'm already in my garden experience, and I'm going to tell you right now, all this is going to take place in your life. And you're going to want people to come and pray with you, and they might pray at home, but they're not going to come with you and pray with you, because God wants you all alone with just him so he can accomplish in your life what he needs to accomplish. So don't get mad at your friends if they go to sleep when you really need them to stay awake and pray. Somebody wrote to me and said that they were praying and in their quiet time, and they felt like I needed somebody to pray with me, and they asked him, God, who is praying with her? And he said, I am. So I'm passing on to you, when you feel like nobody else is praying for you, God is, and he's praying with you. He is covering you, and he tells me all the time, daughter, I am covering you. I am praying for you, and I know all kind of people are praying for me. But God wants me to know, and he wants you to know, that no matter if you think somebody else is a prayer, if you're not, God is. That is the most important person that God is praying for you. Quit getting into your little pity party stage and just buck up and know that God's praying for you, and it's time you walk alone. All right? So God said, in my son's deepest hour of agony, even his closest disciples would not stay awake and comfort him. What is going on in your deepest hour of agony? Do you feel as though all those you call close friends have deserted you? I did at first. Now you can understand what my son went through. To be my true called out ones, you must understand every aspect of my son's life while he walked here on this earth, even the garden of agony. You need to understand the deep agony he had to go through for the ones he loved. You are the ones, little ones. You are the ones he had on his mind during his hour of agony. You see that? In Mark 14:37, in the Message Bible, I use this because I like the way this here person does stated this. Jesus came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, you went to sleep on me. Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Some of you have already said that. Nobody's praying with me, all right? Jesus said, stay alert, be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. Isn't that true? Verse 39, Jesus then went back and prayed the same prayer. See, Jesus prayed the same prayer two times. Everybody said, if you say that, pray the same prayer more than one time, it's unbelief. No, it is not. All right? I believed that for years. Returning, Jesus again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse. Jesus came back a third time. See, Jesus went and prayed to God three times to take this cup from him and said, are you going to sleep all night? No, you've slept long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer has arrived. It was at this point that Jesus' flesh was dead. He was saying, I'm ready to go to the cross. It's when you're in your hour of agony, just like Jesus was, and you get upset because nobody's praying with you, you'll finally say, God, it's just you and I. I went to that place. And when I went to that place, I had such a release in my spirit. I had given up on, not really given up on people, but I didn't care if you were praying for me or not. I knew God was on my side. Do you see this? And when you get free from other people praying for you, you're free. When you get free of other people feeling sorry for you, you're free. Are you listening here tonight? God said, children, when you are all alone in those agonizing hours, think it not a strange thing. You are being formed into the image of my son, Jesus, and in this forming, you are going to know my son in a deeper, more compassionate way. You will see him through spiritual eyes instead of carnal eyes. I've read that scripture over and over and over again, how he went and prayed and come back, went and prayed and come back, and they were asleep. But it wasn't until God told me he wanted this taught that I really, when I looked at it, I thought, here's a normal human being getting upset because nobody will pray with him. And everybody falls asleep. When I'm teaching, I look up and see you falling asleep. I could come out there and pour my water over your head. Say, can't you even stay awake just 20 minutes? Well, sometimes I run over, but can't you just stay awake 20 minutes and hear the word? I think that when I'm up here and you're all doing your thing and sleeping, or your eyes are going, you know, all that gyration. I think about that. If you were watching a movie, you would stay wide awake. Or if you had a tablet in front of you, you'd be wide awake. But you can't, you get bored at a 20-minute sermon? Come on. Jesus was just like us in the garden. He got upset just like we did when he was in the garden. All right? He was human. He was human. All right, and God goes on to say that you'll see Jesus through spiritual eyes instead of carnal eyes. You will see the true, deep, loyal love he had for the children of light. You understand he gave up all his flesh because of his love for you. And then he said, it is finished. When his flesh totally died out in the garden, he had already asked God three times to take the cup from him. It already said three times, well, if not your will, but my will be done. And finally he said, God, I just give up. Remember that movie I told you about? What was that guy's name? He was in prison. He escaped, and they were chasing him, and he finally ran. They kept trying to find, what was it, Cool Man Luke? And then finally in the end, he was in this church, and he said, all right, God, I give up. Got on his knees and threw his hands up, and they shot him. But he ran and ran, and finally he said, okay, I give up. I'm done. His flesh died, then they killed him. But why don't we do that? You know, that movie always sticks with me. That part of that movie, I don't remember what the rest. I knew he was a prisoner escape, but that's about all I know. But when he fell to his knees in that church, and with a big grin on his face, he said, all right, God, I give up. He was happy. He was happy. You understand this? When you finally die, he died to his flesh. When you finally die to your flesh, you're happy. They killed him. He didn't have to run no more. But he was happy. That's why you see such sad faces in the house of God. They don't want to get rid of that little piece of flesh that's draping down over them. Mark 14:48 says, then Jesus answered and said to them, have you, to the guards that came to get him, he said, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. The disciples left also. Nobody stood there with Jesus. He was all alone as the guards were taking him away. Do you know, you and I would have bawled and squalled and yelled, you traitor, you rat, get back here. But Jesus just followed along with the guards. Everybody left him. So what are you going to do when all your friends leave you? Do you know what so-and-so did to me? You go around talking about him. Jesus didn't do that. God said, everybody who traveled with my son during his 3-year ministry forsook him in his hour of trial. If my son went through this period, why do you think it should not happen to you? That phrase that the children of light tosses around so lightly needs to be fulfilled. I am just like Jesus, we say. See that? You know, at one time when somebody split the church through jealousy, they took everybody with them but one person. And when that person came to church the next day, of course, I was still in church. It was in my home. I was down there with a sermon ready to go. And I leaned over the pulpit and I pointed at him and I said, are you going to leave me also? I did not know that was scripture at that point. He stood up. He said, I don't know if I am or not. I'll let you know after service. Well, they talked him out of leaving too, but that wasn't me saying that. And I really wanted to kick him out. I was upset that morning, but God had me lean over that pulpit and say, are you going to leave me also? Crying. I was crying too. But that was Jesus and that was scripture. Nobody stood with me. They all left. I had nobody, no praise, nobody. Everybody left. But God was still there. But what they said was, when we leave, you'll fall. When they left, we filled up. I know my God, and you can tell me all you want. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to watch you fall. I laugh inside because I know they just made this church grow. See, and you need to understand that's not an attitude. That's just something I know. You need to know that no matter what anybody does against you, they're exalting you. They're not tearing you down. They're just giving God more leeway. Just go ahead and do what he wants to do with you. I don't want to use the word leave. Well, it's just giving him an opportunity to pour onto you what he wants to pour onto you, to show them that you're his child and they can't tear you down. All right, Jesus said, it is finished. The cross was the entire will of God. Jesus was to be incarnate, be exposed to shame and reproach, and suffer much and die. The entire work his Father gave him to do was to preach the gospel, work miracles, and obtain eternal salvation for his people, all of which were now done. The whole righteousness of the law was fulfilled, a holy nature assumed, perfect obedience yielded to it, and the penalty of death endured. Jesus did everything that he was supposed to do. He did not leave one thing undone. A perfect righteousness was finished agreeably to the law, and redemption from its curse and condemnation secured. Sin was made an end of. Full atonement and satisfaction for it were given, complete pardon procured, peace made, and redemption from all iniquity obtained. All enemies were conquered. All types, promises, and prophecies were fulfilled. And his own course of life ended. Jesus said, it is finished. Y'all can't say it is finished, because you have not finished your race. You have not finished all the things that God has told you he wants you to do. You definitely haven't gone out in the highways and byways and brought in the harvest. And this is where we're at right now. Then God said, to be like Jesus means you will fulfill your entire assignment without complaining about what you have to endure to the very end. Boy, my knees are wore out from repenting. Children, to be like Jesus means you will fulfill your entire assignment without complaining about what you have to endure to the very end. There will be times when you go to the garden like my son Jesus, and you will cry out to me to lift this heavy burden. Then you will say, not my will be done, Father, but yours. You know, God told me in the very beginning of my born-again experience that I was born to suffer. He's fulfilled that promise. And he reminded me of this when I was writing this. And he said, you have complained about suffering when I told you you were born to suffer. Jesus was born to suffer. Don't tell me what he went through and the cross was not suffering. What has God called you to do? What has he told you to do? And you forgot he told you that. I don't forget he told me that. I remember it, but I sort of push it back in my mind. Because it's not nice to suffer all the time. But God and I had a little talk and I repented. And I'm, you know, people say to me, you shouldn't have to go through this. And one day somebody said that to me, because I was feeling that too, you know. And one day somebody said that to me, and I was feeling it too. And God said, why are you in agreement with that? I told you that you were born to suffer. I told you what you was going to have to go through. You're here simply to bring souls into the kingdom, not to be pampered. Jesus was here just to bring souls into the kingdom, not to be pampered, also as I read this. So we want to be just like Jesus. No, you don't. If you did, why are you complaining about everything, you know? Right? This, I want you to think. I want you to really start thinking, because I don't think we think enough about what our walk with God is really like. And, you know, the things that you suffer, really, if you think about it and look at it, it's all to be a witness and a testimony to how great our God really is. Because people look at you and they think you're just plain crazy. And then they see God, that you're not crazy, and how God brings you through, and how you're always laughing and giggling and carrying on and dancing. And you have no reason to do any of those things. That's a miracle working God that you serve. This goes for kids as well as grown-ups. Come on. I lost my place. Then God said, children, the body went through the Job experiences. Satan had his last chance to sift you. He went through once and then he went through again, right? Now the body is in the Garden of Gethsemane. In this place, the place of loneliness, every bit of flesh is being stripped away. And if you haven't already started in the Garden of Gethsemane experience, it is, I'm going to tell you right now, it's really lonely. You might have people send you emails or call you and say, I really do love you. But there's just a separation between you and God. You know, the people, I mean, not God, but you and the people, because God has drawn you totally and completely to himself so he could do the perfect work in you, just like he did Jesus. You know, an angel could have went through there and smacked them, their disciples on the head with a stick, said, get up, poked them in the belly or something. But he didn't do that, did he? God made sure they stayed asleep, so Jesus was all alone. Are you listening here? All right, so in this process, you will become very serious about dying to your sin nature, being just like Jesus, and stripping your mind of everything that is not of God. In this process, you will become very serious about dying to your sin nature, being just like Jesus, and stripping your mind of everything that is not of God. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And Luke, well, okay, let's read it in the Message Bible, Luke 9:23. Then Jesus told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let God lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. See that? Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. I hope you get this as good as I got it. I mean, I was doing a jig out there in my study all by myself at 3:00 in the morning. I said, God, this is really good stuff. And if you're like me, you'll hear it and then you'll think about it and after a bit something no. Click in your brain and you even think of more things. You know, God will show you more things about it. Because I was taking a shower and I said, God, I don't have time to go out and rewrite that. But it was a good thing, all right? Now, commitment to Christ means daily giving up your hope. This is what picking up your cross means. Giving up your hopes, your dreams, your possessions, even your very life if need be for the cause of Christ. That's what taking up your cross daily means. You're dead. No hopes, no dreams, nothing. You're dead. God is doing the leading, guiding, and directing. And you're the little fella falling in behind. Getting all the blessings. Because you were obedient and followed. When you get out of bed, you will say, not my will be done this day, Father, but yours. How many of you have just said that when you're so disgusted at everything around about you and you've prayed, you've done everything you know to do and finally you say, all right, God, not my will, your will be done. I give it to you. There it is. It's yours. And you really, I do that. I really walk away from it because I have wore myself out trying to change things and it doesn't work. It just does not work. Only in Luke 14:27, only if you willingly take up your cross may you be called his disciple. The reward is worth the prize. Only if you willingly take up your cross may you be called his disciple. If you still want to be in control, if you still want that little piece of flesh, you're not his disciple. God said, my son endured his cross. He stayed on that cross until he could say, it is finished. Are you going to endure your cross until you can honestly say, it is finished? When my son Jesus was in the garden, he had souls on his mind. You are in the garden for the very same reason. You won't think of souls the way Jesus did until you're stripped of all your flesh, all your dreams, all your ambitions. And you die totally and completely out to Jesus Christ. Luke 23:34, Jesus then looked to heaven and asked God to forgive them, for they do not know what they do. God said, children, in your Garden of Gethsemane, you have to learn to do the same thing. You have to forgive and forget. You must love unconditionally. You have to set the captives free to receive all I have for them. And as long as you hold them in bondage with your unforgiveness, they cannot move forward into all that I have for them. See that? You and I first was born again, and I saw that scripture. And when people came against me like they were because I became born again, I would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I meant that. And there was one person in my life who kept doing bad things to me, and I kept saying, God, forgive them, for they know not what to do, because I meant that. And one day God said, don't you ever say that to me again. They do know what they're doing. They calculate it out. They do it deliberately. Don't ever come to me about this person and say they don't know what they're doing. That scared me, and I never did that again with that person. So you see, God knows everybody's heart. He knows exactly what they're doing. And even though, and I meant it with all my heart, God was tired of me saying it, because he didn't. That person just needed to grow up. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, it means that he provides the only solution to man's sin and the only way to God through himself. And you find that in John 14 and 6 and Acts 4 and 12. It is only through the death of Christ that Christians can put to death their sin and put on Christ. And that's Colossians 3, 5 through 14. You can't do this on your own. And if Jesus went and prayed to, you know, the Son of God went and prayed to God three times, begging him to not let him go to the cross, what do you think we're going to have to do? God said, it is also your assignment to go forth and set the sinners free by showing them Jesus and his love. Remember I told you the story about this guy got born again, and he was out the air base, and he went to the barracks, and this guy picked a fight with him and beat the tar out of him. And the guy wouldn't touch him. He just kept telling him he loved him. And he beat him up bad. He looked terrible the next time he got to prayer meeting. And the man said, why don't you fight me, man? He said, because Jesus loves you and I do too. And that man threw his arms around about him, crying, went to his knees and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The man wouldn't hit him back. And that brought him to Christ. Some of you macho men here, boy, you'd have wiped the floor up with him. But that isn't what this man truly got born again. And he wanted to lead others to Christ. His flesh was dead. All right, Luke 9, 57. This is on the road. This is a Message Bible. On the road, someone asked Jesus if he could go along. And the man said, I'll go with you wherever he said. Jesus was curt. He said, are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. Jesus said to another, follow me. And he said, certainly. But first, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. First things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. In other words, no, you can't go back and do that. You have to go ahead with me and do my work. Then another said, I'm ready to follow you, Master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. And Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. You know what really bothers me, and please don't get under condemnation, and what bothers me is that people, it's a church day, and people say, well, if I don't go to the picnic with my family, they'll disown me. Why do you let that do that to you? When I became born again and I found out about all Jesus Christ and how much he loved me, there wasn't a Sunday I missed in church. My husband made sure we went to Pennsylvania 5 hours both ways. And I made sure we get up at 3 o'clock in the morning so I'd be here for church Sunday morning. I never missed a church service. Why? Because of this. Because God said Jesus comes first. The kingdom of God comes first. Your family comes second. My family at first mocked me, but then you know what? They started following me. They knew there was no birthday parties on a church, you know, on Sunday. They knew there was no picnics on Sunday. We did everything Saturday or Monday. They knew that I was going to be in that, the church door was going to be open every time, every Sunday and every Wednesday. And they started helping me. They started going along with me. They understood that I was really committed with my walk with Jesus. You can do whatever you want to, but this word right here tells me that God comes first in all things. First Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. All right, God just pops something else in my mind. If you'll quit giving in to your family's whims about you have to be there for family function, you might win them to Christ. But when they come against you about not being at a family function, you give in and go to the family function. That doesn't show them anything, except they can manipulate you. Come on. You know, I got my brothers to doing that, my brother to doing that, my mother got to doing that, and they said it pays off to serve Christ first, and it does. Just maybe if you tell your family, no, it's church day and I have to be in church, just maybe it might look at you a little bit more weird. No, maybe it might make them look at you in a different way and say, you know, she's really, or he's really serious about this walk with God. Are you listening? Why can't you trust your family relationship to God as you serve him? Most of our families aren't serving God anyhow, and so therefore they're going down the wrong road. Why should you go with them? Whether the rapture occurred or you had a heart attack while you was at a picnic eating all that delicious food, where do you think you end up at? I don't know. I just want you to think. I just want you to think about your walk with God and how close do you walk with God and how serious are you with walk with God? When I became born again, I never once was concerned about what other people thought of me and my walk with God. I just didn't. It was my walk, and God told me how to walk out my own salvation. And if you want to go a different road, that's up to you, but I'm going to walk with God. Most of my family is not saved. They were at one time, but they're backslid. But they still respect my walk with God. And I know that it's going to bring them back to God one day. God's promised me that I'd see my whole household serving him again. And I know because little things they say to me, they're watching. They're watching my reactions. They're walking how close am I going to stay with God and how strong is my faith. When I had COVID, my kids really planned my funeral. That's how sick I was. I didn't know I was that sick. And they said, but they would walk in the room and they would hear me say, Father God, please heal me. I know you're able. And I came out of that. But they didn't think I was going to, but they said, you prayed constantly to God to come and heal you and raise you up off the sick bed. That just sent their faith skyrocketing. And my daughter talked to me about it the other day, and she said, we just knew we were never going to see you alive ever again, that you were gone. And they were trying to get me to go to the hospital, and I wouldn't go. I said, no, God has me. And they said, we're so glad you didn't go because we believe the hospital would have killed you. But you laid there in that bed, professing your faith, and God brought you through. You know, why do you worry about your family? If you're a true born-again child of God and truly walking with God, the only thing you can do to your family is let them see what Jesus is all about. You can't push them away from God. They were never there. But you can draw them to God by the way you act. All right, the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to remain hanging on the cross, to keep saying no to the demands of our flesh until the lusts die. Then we truly become free from sin. It's the Holy Spirit. I know there's just people out there, people in here that's fighting the desires of the flesh. Keep fighting. The Holy Spirit's with you. You'll know when you're done. I mean, when God's fit you, God's pushing you away, you'll know that. I guarantee you, you will. But I'm telling you to keep hanging on that cross. Keep hanging on to the promises of God. Keep hanging on to Him to lead, guide, and direct you in all that you say and all that you do. He'll never forsake you. He won't. He just doesn't do that. And you young kids, when you're around other young kids, you should act just like Jesus. You shouldn't be acting. My two boys will say, you really shouldn't do that. That's not nice. That's not godly. They tell the other kids, you shouldn't do that. They tell me, you shouldn't say that. God doesn't want you to say that. You understand what I'm saying here? Everybody's watching you. What kind of a message are you giving them? Are you giving them a message of a holy Jesus, a righteous Jesus, a loving Jesus? Are you giving them mixed messages that He's a ho-hum Jesus and you can do anything you want to do and still go to heaven? Not true. Not true. If you aren't in your garden, you're going to go. There's not going to be roses there. It's going to be lonely. Going to go through a lot of agony because, some of the things God stripped. God told me one just recently, you're not going to like what I'm going to be doing around about you. But it has to be done. So, some things might happen around about you that it's going to hurt you to the core. But in order for Jesus to get you where He wants you to go, or even get the things around about you straightened out, He has to do what He has to do, and you have to leave Him. Do them so that God can take you to the heights that He needs to take you. Sister Elizabeth, in closing, Sister Elizabeth told me the reason why she came Sunday was because she said the same dream, it was identical two times. It was us in a new building and the glory of God everywhere, that people couldn't even walk through the door, remember how it used to be. But stronger. And she said the color of the church was green. And she said, God, why green? And green in the Bible is for healing. And so God told me, I'm going to bring healing back in the house of God. So, and God told me it's going to be like a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. This is what we're heading into, walking into. Why would you hold on to the trash of the world? Why would you do that? And so each one of you that come here every service, the members of the church, you're going to have the same powerful anointing upon you. Whatever God told you He's going to use you to do, that's what you will do. But your anointing will be off the chart. It'll be miracles all the time. So if you're in your garden, stay there and do like Jesus did and just say, all right, I'm just going to just endure this. He knew the beating He was going to have to go through. He knew all that stuff, and He knew the pain that he was going to be in, but still in all He went. See, what happens here is, in the world, let's just say somebody coming down off of drugs. You're going to be sick as a dog. That you're not going to be able to endure that. And so instead of believing God to help you through it, battling it for 3 days, I hear 3 days, it's really hard. Instead of doing that, you give in to the devil and take another shot or whatever it is you take. And I hear that watching pornography is a really, really a horrible thing. And so you want to quit pornography, but your body, will go into spasms. I'll just use that word. It'll go into spasms. You don't want to go through that. So you give in to looking at the picture, only to be more bound than you were before. Why don't you be like Jesus? He knew everything He was going to go through. But after three times praying, He finally said, all right, flesh, you're dead. I'm just going to go out there and meet those guards, and I'm just going to go through the pain and agony I have to go through so that you guys can go to heaven one day. What you're saying to God when you die out your flesh, you say, God, all right, I give up. make me, just like the new wine, make me a vessel of honor. Make me a vessel of honor that you can work through. Father, I just truly do thank you for your teaching tonight. And Father God, there's so much more to this teaching. It's just touching the very top. I want you, Father God, to every person sitting in this room tonight, I want you to work with them with this message and show them the deepness, the true deepness of what this message is really saying. And Father God, everyone in this room thanks you tonight. Even those watching, thank you tonight for this powerful teaching. And we thank you, Father God, that as we give our flesh to you, that you'll strip everything off of us that is not of you, so that we can truly say, I'm just like Jesus. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, there are some out there watching, they're actually weeping, asking you to minister to them and to take their flesh. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to take every ounce of flesh, strip them bare, Father, because they're asking for it, and set them on high with you. And Father, we just give you honor and glory tonight. We truly do thank you that you love this little church so much, that you are with us at every service. And there's things in us that you change and rearrange that we don't even know about. We just thank you for it, Father. And we say this in the name of Jesus, amen. God, as I was praying, God was saying that what he wants at the altar call tonight. And I literally see you sitting amongst the olive trees. Those of you who want strength to stay in the agony until every ounce of your flesh is gone, you come up to the altar. You'll be sitting in the actual Garden of Gethsemane, and God is going to come, and he's going to touch you with a powerful anointing, and it'll see you through this difficult time that you're going to go through.